So we're going to look at Psalm 109. Joel Edwards is going to come and read and teach us.
Mark, could you put number one on? So I hope you can see that Bible passage. It's a passage that fits with the theme of the songs that Mark has selected this morning. You'll notice that the songs have been around the topic of when life is difficult and needing to put our trust in God. And this is a psalm, a poem or a song from the Old Testament about a time when King David, his life was very difficult. And it's got a surprising prayer of David's that we're going to think about. People find it quite an odd or surprising part of the Bible. So Psalm 109, the heading is, "For the director of music of David, a psalm. My God, whom I praise, do not remain silent, for people who are wicked and deceitful have opened their mouths against me. They have spoken against me with lying tongues. With words of hatred they surround me. They attack me without cause. In return for my friendship, they accuse me. But I am a man of prayer. They repay me evil for good and hatred for my friendship." And then there's the prayer that David prays about this enemy. Verse 6, "Appoint someone evil to oppose my enemy. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he's tried, let him be found guilty, and may his prayers condemn him. May his days be few, may another take his place of leadership. May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. May his children be wandering beggars, may they be driven from their ruined homes. May a creditor seize all he has, may strangers plunder the fruits of his labor. May no one extend kindness to him or take pity on his fatherless children. May his descendants be cut off, their names blotted out from the next generation. May the iniquity," that means the wrong, "of his fathers be remembered before the Lord. May the sin of his mother never be blotted out. May their sins always remain before the Lord, that he may blot out their names from the earth." And now David describes how unkind and unpleasant this enemy is. Verse 16, "For he never thought of doing a kindness, but hounded to death the poor and the needy and the brokenhearted. He loved to pronounce a curse, may it come back on him. He found no pleasure in blessing, may it be far from him. He wore cursing as his garment. It entered into his body like water, into his bones like oil. May it be like a cloak wrapped about him, like a belt tied forever around him. May this be the Lord's repayment to my accusers, to those who speak evil of me." And now David talks about himself, but verse 21, "But you, sovereign Lord, help me for your name's sake. Out of the goodness of your love, deliver me, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I fade away like an evening shadow. I am shaken off like a locust. My knees give way from fasting, my body is thin and gaunt. I am an object of scorn to my accusers. When they see me, they shake their heads." So David prays, "Help me, Lord my God. Save me according to your unfailing love. Let them know that it is your hand, that you, Lord, have done it. While they curse, may you bless. May those who attack me be put to shame, but may your servant rejoice. May my accusers be clothed with disgrace and wrapped in shame as in a cloak. With my mouth I will greatly extol the Lord. In the great throng of worshippers I will praise him. For he stands at the right hand of the needy to save their lives from those who would condemn them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please keep that page open. We're going to be thinking about it together. Let's pray for God's help to understand this surprising, difficult part of the Bible. Heavenly Father, some parts of the Bible are harder to understand than others, and it seems some parts of this poem or song are hard to understand. So help us understand what it means. Help us to grow in trusting you in difficult situations ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So maybe you thought, as I was reading through that psalm, this is strange to be in the Bible. Because Jesus teaches his followers, his people, that we should pray for our enemies, to pray good. But here is a prayer that David's enemies would suffer. How does it fit in the Bible? It seems like it doesn't fit, doesn't belong. It's like you go to a McDonald's and open your McDonald's bag and there's some jollof rice. Jollof rice is very nice, but it doesn't belong in a McDonald's meal. Or you go to a nail salon. I've never been to one, but people go. And, you know, they've got a can of car oil on the side. Car oil is good for cars, but it's not what you have in a nail salon. Or there's a tennis court and there's a rugby ball on the tennis court. Rugby balls don't belong on a tennis court. How come this psalm is in the Bible? Does it belong here? Now, one answer people have said is that this is a bad prayer. They have said David had terrible suffering, and after that suffering, we can understand he's upset, but he's praying in a wrong way, they say. He's praying to hurt his enemies, and he should be merciful like God. They say this prayer is from a man who has suffered horribly, but then is praying badly. But that is not a good enough answer, because in the New Testament, Jesus' friend Peter says these words are from God. Can we have the slide that shows that? This is from the book of Acts. Peter said, "Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus." So do you see at the top there, it says the scripture had to be fulfilled. And the next slide, Peter goes on, "For it is written in the book of Psalms, may another take his place of leadership." That's the psalm we've got here. "Therefore, it's necessary to choose one of the men who've been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us." So that's how Peter says this bit of the Bible from the Old Testament, it had to come true with that man Judas, who was an enemy of Jesus. He's not saying, yeah, David just had a bad day and should have done better. He's saying the Holy Spirit gave David these words. Next slide shows that this is the first of five talks this summer where we're looking at psalms, songs, poems from the Old Testament that get used in the book of Acts in the New Testament. So the arrow, please. Today we've got, next slide. Psalm 109 is in Acts chapter 1, and then next week, God willing, we'll look at Psalm 16 in Acts chapter 2, and it'll go on. If we're believers in Jesus, we listen to the Old Testament, and particularly we can know that this prayer isn't just the prayer of someone who got it wrong because of how Peter talks about it. Next slide has got the two main things, I think. Sorry, can you go ahead? So I think that must be my fault. David's friends harmed him, and David asked God to do what is right. David's friends harmed him. David asked God to do what is right. So the beginning of the psalm, David talks about how he is suffering. What are his friends doing to him? Tell me. Someone shout out so that I don't have to do all the talking. What are they doing? Verses 2 to 5. Lying. Yeah, thank you, Andrew. They're deceitful. Verse 2, that means they lie. They've attacked him without cause. That's in verse 3. And in what way does it say in verse 3 they were attacking him without cause? It's with words of hatred. All the way through these verses, it's about words. So verse 2... people who are wicked and deceitful have opened their mouths against me, so they can speak badly. They have spoken against me with lying tongues, say things that are not true. Verse 3, with words of hatred they attack me. Verse 4, in return for my friendship, they accuse me. They say I've done things that are wrong. So David has been a friend to them. Verse 4, in return for my friendship, they accuse me. But they're not friends back to him. Now that could be they're writing lies about him on social media. That's what people can do today, can't they? And really hurt one another by that. Or it could be they tell those lies about them in school or in the workplace or in the home. Wherever they're doing it, they're using words. And it seems like God's not using any words. Look, verse 1. My God, whom I praise, do not remain silent. All these bad words are being spoken that are unkind and unfair, and it seems like God is not saying anything. They're accusing him, saying he's done things that are wrong. And so back then, in King David's time, people attacked God's king. In Jesus' time, people attacked Jesus with words, not just with violence. And words can be very frightening, can't they? Wrong words about us. We can get worried. If people believe those lies about us, what trouble we will get into. Causes lots of difficulty. Angry words, when people speak in anger against us, it frightens us, it saddens us. So David's friends harmed him. They harmed him with words. And what does David do? David asks God to do what is right. David asked God to do what is right. To David, in all these things where he's asking for bad things to happen to his friends, who are not his friends anymore, or aren't acting like friends, he's acted as a friend, they're not acting like friends, David is not saying a curse. Curse is when someone says words to their enemy. Cursing is when a person says, you will suffer, bad things will happen, you will lose. That's cursing. David isn't doing that. He's not shouting in anger at them. He's asking God to do what is right. And that's very different. Good verse 4. Appoint someone evil to oppose my enemy. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. David's not rushing to be the person who's arguing against his enemy. He's saying, God, you put someone else to do that. David said in verse 4, in return for my friendship, they accuse me. So I had given them friendship. What had they done? They'd said wrong things about me. So God, do what is right. Send a person to accuse them. That's what he's asking in verse 6. Appoint someone evil to oppose my enemy. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. Verse 8. May his days be few, may another take his place of leadership. That's what happened to Judas. Jesus had been a friend to Judas. Jesus loved Judas, but Judas hated Jesus. And Judas had not been kind to Jesus. And a new person took over his place. That's where this bit of the poem comes up in the New Testament. The next part seems very wrong to be in the Bible. Verse 9. May his child be fatherless, children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. May his children be wandering beggars. May they be driven from their ruined homes. May a creditor, so that's someone who's lent him some money, may that person who's lent him money come and take everything he has. May strangers plunder the fruits of his labor. May no one extend kindness to him or take pity on his fatherless children. May his descendants be cut off, their names blotted out from the next generation. Now, we find that a very hard part of David's prayer. We can understand that the man who's done the wrong to him, like Judas who did wrong to Jesus, we understand that they would have suffering, and if they're killed, then his wife will be a widow. And his children will be fatherless. But why should bad things happen to the family later? It's because that family are all connected to him. We as human beings, we are connected to the people around us. We're connected to our families, and it makes us like them. We think today we can be who we want to be. I'm going to go onto social media. I'm going to make the new Joel. I'm going to create a story about Joel and put all sorts of information on my social media. That's my new ID. But it doesn't change who I am. And who I am comes from my family mainly. I'm like my family. I can't easily change that. So this man's children, his family, are like him. That's why he's praying for the same for them. David's praying the same for them. Now, a miracle of God can happen to make someone like one of his family. Sophie prayed about that, didn't she? She thanked God that we've been adopted. That's a miracle of God. It can happen. But without God doing it, we stay like the people we grow up with, we live with, we know. But David doesn't shout at them. He doesn't curse them. David trusts God and says, God, do what is right. They put an accuser against me. You put an accuser against them. This enemy is not a man who's just done one wrong. He's not someone who just made a bad choice. Look at verse 16. For he never thought of doing a kindness. So what does that say about how often he thought of doing kindness? He didn't do it, yeah. What did you say, Femi? Yeah, it's wickedness is his habit, isn't it? Not doing kindness. Never occurred to him. Instead, he harms other people, especially people who actually need help. Verse 17. He loved to pronounce a curse. It's his favourite word to use. It's his normal way. And so David says to God, prays to God, do what is right, do what fits. Verse 17, he loved to pronounce a curse. May it come back on him. That's fair. If he's always cursing other people, David's asking God to do what is right. Let the curse come on him. He loved it so much, it's like his clothing. Look at verse 18. He wore cursing as his garment. It's like his school uniform. I know you've put your school uniform away now, children, haven't you, for the summer? But during school time, that's your normal clothes. And everyone here, I can see, everyone put some clothes on this morning. Thank you. I'm glad you did. We put clothes on. So when people saw him, they saw a person that used curses. So that was his clothing. I've got a piece of clothing here to help us think about that. It's a clothing. Yeah, thank you. Try not to wobble off. This is it. Here's my clothing. And the yellow things are the curses he cursed. May you have debts. May you have trouble. May you be sick. May you be hated. Those are curses that he said about other people. It was his normal speaking. And then the pink things are the accusations, the lies he told. You're evil. You're a cheat. You're a liar. And actually the person who was living like that, he was the liar in the things he was doing. And this was his ordinary clothes, his everyday clothes, what he put on in the morning. And when people saw him, that's the person they saw. That's what they knew. He is the person who's like that. So David prays, do what is right, do what fits. Let the curse always be on him. Look at verse 18. He wore cursing as his garment. It entered into his body like water, into his bones like oil. Verse 19, may it be like a cloak wrapped about him, like a belt tied forever around him. And saying, God, you put a curse on him, please, who's always trying to curse other people. Do what is right. But is a brilliant word in the Bible. Often in the Bible, it talks about difficult things for us as people or bad things that we've done that we regret. But, and then the Bible tells us something about God. So verse 21, but you, sovereign Lord, that's the name for God, help me for your name's sake. David's friends have harmed him, but God cares for him. David says, do what is right, act for your name's sake. And a little later in verse 27, he's saying, let them know that it is your hand, that you, Lord, have done it, for your name's sake, so people know you're the God who does what's right. In back at verse 21, but you, sovereign Lord, help me for your name's sake, out of the goodness of your love, deliver me. God, do what you're like. You're a God who's got goodness and love. These enemies are accusers. Dress them in the clothing that fits them. Look at the top of verse 29. May accusers be clothed with disgrace and wrapped in shame as a cloak. That's the clothing they should wear. That's how they should be seen. But God will be looking after people who trust him. Verse 31, for God stands at the right hand of the needy to save their lives from those who would condemn them. So David's friends harmed him. He was a friend to them, but they accused him. What does David do? He doesn't shout at them, doesn't curse them. He trusts God, and he says, God, do what is right. That helps us understand why this very difficult prayer is in the Bible. What do we do if we're believers in Jesus today? Do you think you should find someone who you don't like and pray this prayer about them? No. That's not what we're being taught to do here. The first thing we think is, thank you, God, that you answered this prayer when Judas died. Judas, the accuser of Jesus, the enemy of Jesus, who said that Jesus was evil, that he was a cheat, that he was a liar. God punished Judas. He answered that prayer. And another man came and took the place of Judas. But as well, we must be ready to trust God. Jesus' people, the church, we get laughed at, we get criticized. And we might want to fight back and shout back. We might want to curse and be angry. And we mustn't do that. We should trust God. We should pray that people who hate Jesus and his ways will be stopped. Now, there's a great story in the New Testament. I haven't got time to go and tell you all of it, but you know the story of Paul. Paul, who hated Jesus and hated his people. And how did God stop him? Someone who knows that story. Well, he went blind, that's right, yeah. And then what did God do to him? What did God say to him he was going to be? Do you know what he said? Sorry for me? Yeah, that's right. That's what he was doing to begin with. He was hating Jesus. He was victimizing the people of God. God stopped him, made him blind for 3 days. And then after that, what did God say he was going to be his job now? He was going to be a messenger. That's right. He was going to be God's servant to send this message everywhere. So God can do that. He can change like that. But if people will not change and accept Jesus as king, God will punish them in the end. And we must trust him to do that. Not be people who curse, not be people who attack. That's what's good in this psalm for us to know and to see. So David's friends harmed him. David asked God to do what is right. Jesus' friend, Judas harmed him. And God answered the prayer of David. He did what is right and took Judas away. I'm going to lead us in a prayer now. Loving Father, words are very powerful. They can be so hurtful. Please stop people who speak lies about Jesus and his family. We trust that you will punish them. We trust you to do what is right. Amen.